morning. We live in troubled times. The Russian war against Ukraine is still ongoing. We see that Russia is testing our resolve. So these are times where it is absolutely paramount that we have this common sense of urgency and unity to address these challenges. And therefore, this informal European Council in Copenhagen comes just at the right time. We're going to discuss two topics. One is defense and the other one is Ukraine. On defense, my commission has prepared a scoping paper to discuss the direction of action, but also, for example, flagships like the drone wall. And if it comes to Ukraine, if we all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense, we have to step up the military support for Ukraine. This is the reason why today we are disbursing 4 billion euros for Ukraine. 2 billion euros of that will be invested in drones. And we have to increase the pressure on Russia. And this is why I have proposed reparation loans for Ukraine on the basis of the immobilized Russian assets. We are not confiscating the assets, but we are taking the cash balances for loan to Ukraine. Ukraine has to pay back this loan if Russia pays reparations, because the perpetrator has to be held accountable.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 1st. Happy Independence Day to the Republic of Cyprus. October the 1st, Cyprus got its independence in 1960. Let's talk about some news. And we are going to start things off with the meeting in Copenhagen, where EU leaders are getting together to discuss Russia, Russian drones, Russian frozen assets. It's all about Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. That is what the EU leaders are in Copenhagen meeting to discuss what to do about the Putin. And yesterday I mentioned that before going to Copenhagen, Ursula von der Leyen said that she was going to be giving 2 billion euros to Zelensky. And this money was coming from the Russian frozen assets, but it would be offset by EU IOUs. And Europe was going to give, the EU was planning on giving 140 billion in total to Zelensky. So the 2 billion deducted from 140 billion means that Zelensky is now going to get 138 billion from the European Union. Well, make that 136 billion because today Ursula announced that she's not going to be giving 2 billion euros to Zelensky. She's going to double it and give him 4 billion euros. All of that money coming from the Russian frozen assets. So that was Ursula's big announcement at the Copenhagen summit. Politico sums up the summit in three words: money, money, money. That is what Politico is saying this summit of EU leaders is all about. Money, money, money. Give us your money, European Union citizens. Give us your money so we can protect you against Russian drones. What to do about the Russian frozen assets? What do we do about the Russian frozen assets? Money, money, money. Let's take those frozen assets and hand them over to the washing machine that is known as the Green Goblin, also known as Zelensky. 136 billion. Money, money, money. That is what it's all about, isn't it? That is what it is all about. The EU army, the EU military, IOUs of Russian frozen assets, scaring the bejeebers out of EU citizens with Russian drones. It's all about money, money, money. Politico just comes out with it, actually. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. So talking about some fear-mongering, Macron is getting on board the fear-mongering train. All aboard the fear-mongering train, Emmanuel Macron. He said at this meeting in Copenhagen that Europe is now in confrontation with Russia. That's right. It's no longer, we're not part of this war. We're not part of this war. That's what Macron was telling us just 6 months ago. We're just helping Ukraine defend itself, but we're not at war with Russia. Donald Tusk yesterday said that we're at war with Russia. Now you have Macron coming along and saying it's a confrontation with Russia. Stunning and brave. Kaya Kallas said that Russia's airspace breaches are state-sponsored terrorism. We see Russia clearly escalating with the different type of incursions that they are doing, she said. The decoy drones trying to get shot down by Dutch F-16s, or was it an F-35 over Poland? Anyway, I think it was an F-35, actually. A Dutch F-35 tried to shoot down the Russian foam decoy drones with duct tape, and they ended up hitting a home in Poland as the decoy drone landed on a chicken coop, right? Isn't that the story? Isn't that what happened? Well, according to Kaya Kallas, it's state-sponsored terrorism. Damn it, Netherlands, stop firing your missiles at foam decoy drones. Stop missing as you try to knock down foam decoy drones. Russia, state-sponsored terrorism. Now give us money. That is what Kaya Kallas said. The Latvian prime minister said that it's time to use those Russian assets for Ukraine. It's time to take those 250 billion or 220 billion or 200 billion or 180 billion or 140 billion or 138 billion. Just take whatever is left in Euroclear, and it is time to send it to the washing machine that is known as Ukraine. That is what the Latvian prime minister said. And Vanderpirate, she is pushing hard for the 6 billion euro drone wall that Pistorius said is ridiculous. The defense minister of Germany yesterday said drone walls are ridiculous. And now you have Macron also saying, you know what, drone walls, yeah, that's not a real thing. That is what Macron said. According to Politico, Macron is meh on VDL's drone wall. First Germany, now France. I said it yesterday, Ursula. You didn't cut Pistorius in on the 6 billion euro action. Looks like you didn't cut Macron in on the 6 billion euro action, the drone wall fund action. You got to cut these people in on the drone wall action and never forget about 10% for the big guy. You always have to include the 10% for the big guy. So anyway, that is what Macron said about the drone wall. So we have the Valdai conference taking place in Russia, and Lavrov at Valdai, he talked about the Tomahawks, and he said that if Tomahawks are given to Ukraine, that would be a surprise to him and to Russia. But he also said that the Tomahawk would be a serious escalation. But he kind of brushed it off. That's the impression that I got from Lavrov's statement. Giving Tomahawks to Ukraine, he said, would really surprise the Russian Federation. Don't be surprised if Kellogg convinces Trump to send a couple of tomahawks to Ukraine. Not that they would change anything with regards to the trajectory of the conflict on the front lines in Ukraine, but of course you would have to treat those tomahawks as a nuclear escalation. So you should take it seriously, and do not be surprised at the recklessness and stupidity of the leaders in the collective West. Putin is going to speak at the Valdai tomorrow. And according to Peskov and the Kremlin, it's going to be a big speech from the Russian president. Peskov said that Putin's going to focus on multipolarity. So we await Putin's big speech at the Valdai tomorrow. Let's now go to another conference that is taking place in Warsaw, or I believe it's wrapping up today. The Warsaw Security Forum is what it's called. And all the smart people were at the Warsaw Security Forum. We had Keith Kellogg speaking at the Warsaw Security Forum. We had the former CEO of NATO, John Stoltenberg, speaking at the Warsaw Security Forum. And then we had the genius, former UK Defense Minister, none other than Ben Wallace, speaking at this forum. Did you guys know that Stoltenberg is writing his memoirs? He's coming out with a book. That's going to be a page turner, huh? Stoltenberg's memoirs. Oh boy. Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy that one. No doubt about it. After I'm done reading Kamala's book, the next book that I'm going to read is John Stoltenberg's memoirs. Oh man. Anyway, that's how he's going to get rewarded. He's already, I believe he is the he's the finance minister, isn't he? So he's the finance minister, and he's going to also get rewarded with a book deal, right? That's how it works in the collective West. Job well done, Stoltenberg. Now let's write your memoirs and reward you for the escalation with Russia. Anyway, let's start off the Warsaw Security Forum with Keith Kellogg, who said that he knows, he has a feeling, he said, that Vladimir Putin knows he cannot win. That's Keith Kellogg's feeling. He has a hunch. Vladimir Putin, deep down inside, Kellogg said, knows that he cannot win the conflict in Ukraine. Yep, President Trump, you better listen to Keith Kellogg's hunch, his feelings. Listen to the power that is Keith Kellogg, to the instinct that is Keith Kellogg, U.S. President Trump. He knows what he's talking about when he says that that he has a hunch that Putin, deep down inside, knows he cannot win in Ukraine. Then you better take that hunch seriously, U.S. President Trump. Keith Kellogg also said that the Tomahawks will be the game changer.
From what I understand, and I was not in the meeting, from what I understand, reading the public reports, is that issue of Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine was brought up by President Zelensky to President Trump at the UN General Assembly last week in New York City. There has been no comment either, yes, it's going to happen, or no, it's going to happen. The acknowledgement from, again, in the public reports is they were asked for. That is obviously something that has been picked up by the world press, obviously picked up by the Russians as well, simply because of the capability and the capacity of the weapon system. The weapon system is, in fact, by itself, it is, to me, it's a game changer, only because how good it is, and somebody who's seen it used multiple times in multiple conflicts. So,
introducing the concept of a game-changing weapon. Why did the collective West not think about this over the past 3-4 years of the conflict with Russia, a game-changing weapon. What a great idea from Kellogg. Huh? It's simple, elegant, yet powerful, decisive, a game-changing weapon. If only the collective West, if only the Biden administration had someone like Keith Kellogg to introduce the concept of a game-changing weapon, huh? So there you have it. Kellogg doing what he does best, winning wars. The game-changing weapon, the Tomahawk missile. Biden was saddled with Sullivan and Blinken and Austin. They could have never come up with the concept of a game-changing weapon. They can't think in the dimensions that Keith Kellogg thinks in. So anyway, that is what Kellogg said. The game-changing weapon, folks. The Tomahawk missile. And so let's get to Stoltenberg. Stoltenberg, the former CEO of NATO. The current CEO of NATO is none other than Mark Rutte. But Stoltenberg is back, and he's bad and better than ever. Stoltenberg is telling citizens of the European Union to give up their money to Project Ukraine, to allow their countries to cut back on social services, on healthcare, on education, and to take the money that is being saved from cutting back on all of these services and hand it over to Ukraine, because according to Stoltenberg, he's addressing the citizens of the European Union. He's addressing me. According to Stoltenberg, Ukraine is the number one priority for the European Union. So let's all member states, let's cut back on our pensions, let's cut back on our healthcare, let's cut back on our education, and let's give the money saved to Zelensky. And it's money well spent, according to Stoltenberg. Rutte actually said the same thing when he just took over the job of NATO CEO. He said that what EU member states need to do is that they need to cut back on social services and pensions and stuff like that in order to allocate the money to the Green Goblin. So that is what Stoltenberg said. And once again, everyone be on the lookout for Stoltenberg's memoirs. I'm sure it's going to be a New York Times bestseller, the memoirs of Jean Stoltenberg. And we wrap things up with the amazing, unstoppable force of nature known as the former UK Defense Minister, Ben Wallace, who told the audience in Warsaw that the goal of the collective West should be to make Crimea uninhabitable. That's what he said. Make Crimea uninhabitable. And he said that what needs to happen is that the collective West needs to take out the Kerch Bridge. That is what Ben Wallace said. We have to help Ukraine have the long-range capabilities to make Crimea unviable. We need to choke the life out of Crimea, Wallace said. If it is not inhabitable or not possible for it to function, I think if we do that, Putin will suddenly realize he's got something to lose. And of course, Ben Wallace is talking about long-range missiles, storm shadow, scalps. He's talking about Tomahawks, because Tomahawks are the game-changing weapon. So The Guardian is reporting that the European Union has another plan in place. And this is a good plan. This may be the EU's best plan to date, actually. They are putting together a plan to court none other than Belarus is Lukashenko. Yeah, according to The Guardian, the EU is kicking around the idea of rapprochement with Lukashenko. They believe that they will be able to convince Lukashenko to get out of the shadow. Those are the words being used, to get out of the shadow of Putin and to join the European Union. Get out of the shadow of Putin and step into the shadow of von der Leyen. Sounds like a good deal, huh? Really good deal. Oh, man. I think Lukashenko is going to stay put. The last time Lukashenko flirted with good relations with the European Union, what did the European Union do? It tried to coup d'etat him in 2020. Remember when Lukashenko decided that the strategy for Belarus was to have good relations with Russia, but also have good relations with the European Union and play them off against one another? Yeah, the European Union said, it's time to coup d'etat you, Lukashenko. Yeah, I think he's going to stay put under under Putin's shadow with some nice Orezhniks to boot. Oh, man. So Orban, he replied to Donald Tusk, who said yesterday that the West is at war with Russia. And here is what Orban posted on X. Dear Donald Tusk, you may think that you are at war with Russia, but Hungary is not. Neither is the European Union. You are playing a dangerous game with the lives and security of millions of Europeans. This is very bad. Another warning from Orban. Will Donald Tusk listen to it? Nope. Will Europe listen to Orban's warnings? No. Will Donald Trump, a friend of Orban's, listen to his warnings? Probably not. Unfortunately not. He's going to listen to Keith Kellogg. Orban also said that what we're seeing in the West, the escalation of the rhetoric, the war escalation rhetoric, the drones, the false flags, the Russian MiGs that allegedly flew over Estonian airspace for 12 minutes. Orban said it's all about resources. In other words, the escalation from the West is all about money. Here is what Orban said. The situation is clear. The West speaks of defending Ukraine, but in reality, it is an imperialist grab for land, resources, and money. The unfortunate Ukrainian people are being plundered, while those pushing the war cloak exploitation in the guise of protection. Let there be no illusion. This is about power and profit. Very true, Viktor Orban. Very true. So we had the meeting in the United States with the 800 high-level U.S. military officials. And Pete Hegseth spoke about the one goal, the one priority, the one objective of the Department of War, of the Pentagon. And it's only one thing that the Pentagon needs to do, and that is to fight wars. And it's going to do this through peace, the peace through strength mantra and the warrior ethos. He said that the age of wokeness at the Pentagon is over. No more wokeness. The Pentagon now is all about fighting wars. And he said if any country dares to test the Department of War, then F-A-F-O. F around and F out. F out, find out. F around and find out. You see, I'm not up to date with the lingo of the cool kids. F around and find out, said Pete Hegseth. He talked a lot about the U.S. preparing for war, but a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads, wondering which war are you talking about? Not what war are you talking about, but which war are you talking about? Are you talking about the war in Ukraine? Are you talking about the upcoming war with Iran, where we are getting a lot of reports about U.S. military assets being sent towards Iran? A lot of credible reports are documenting an uptick in U.S. military assets heading towards the Middle East. Are you talking about that war? Are you talking about some sort of a war in Venezuela, some sort of a regime change decapitation operation in Venezuela, where we are also getting a lot of chatter about the Trump administration taking some sort of action against Venezuela and making it out as if they're going after drug traffickers and the big drug trafficker, the leader of the drug trafficking, Maduro. That's what they're going to say the operation is about. But we are getting a lot of rumors which are saying that the Trump administration is gearing up for something in Venezuela. What war is the Pentagon preparing for, Mr. Pete Hegseth? We're going to probably find out fairly soon, I imagine. Trump, he spoke at this get-together of top military officials. He talked about how the U.S. was under an invasion from within, not different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. And then Trump also talked about submarines. He was meandering, wandering around a lot with his speech yesterday. It was hard to get an understanding as to what the theme of Trump's speech was. But he shifted his focus on U.S. weapons. The United States having the most nukes, the best nukes, the most beautiful nukes, better than Russia, better than China. He talked about U.S. submarines and how the United States is 25 years ahead of Russia and China. But he said that Russia is number two when it comes to submarines. China is number three, but catching up very quickly. But he said they're nowhere close to what the U.S. Has. And then he talked about how he sent subs close to Russia because Russia tried to intimidate the U.S. a little. And I sent there to the Russian shores a submarine, a nuclear submarine. It is the deadliest weapon ever created. First of all, it is impossible to detect. No way. We are 25 years ahead of Russia and China in the field of submarines. Russia, by the way, is second. In terms of submarine level, China is third, but quickly catching up. So yeah, he talked about the submarine story where Medvedev was talking about Russia's, what is it called, the dead hand? And then Trump, he got into a war with Medvedev. Well, Medvedev got into a social media war with Graham. They went back and forth on X or on Telegram with Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham was talking about nuking Russia or going to war with Russia, whatever. And Medvedev then mentioned Russia's dead hand policy. And then Trump decided to stand up for Lindsey Graham. He decided to come to Lindsey Graham's aid. And he said that he's sending nuclear subs towards Russia. And so he brought it up again yesterday. I don't know why he brought it up, but he did bring it up yesterday, the nuclear subs towards Russia. And Medvedev actually replied to Trump's submarine statements from his speech yesterday. Medvedev said, "New episode of the thriller series, nuclear subs for posts on X. Trump once again brought up the subs he allegedly sent to the Russian shores, insisting they are very well hidden. As the saying goes, it's hard to find a black cat in a dark room, especially if it's not there." So that was Medvedev's reply to Trump. We'll see if Trump gets angry with this post on X from Medvedev and decides to send more subs towards Russia. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? If Trump reads this post from Medvedev, how he's going to react. Oh, man. So the U.S. government is about to shut down, or it has already shut down. No money for U.S. citizens. For services. Services for U.S. citizens, no money. Lots of money for Alensky. Lots of money for the MIC. $1.1 trillion. For the military industrial complex, lots of money for Iran, Israel, operation in Venezuela, Zelensky, Ukraine. For these things, there's no government shutdown. But for everything else, there's a government shutdown. So, of course, both parties are blaming each other, right? It's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. The one thing they agree on is money for war, money for military spending. They are united on that. So the European Union, going back to the EU, very quickly before we talk about Grokopedia, the European Union, they are going to bend the rules in order to fast track Ukraine and Moldova's entry into the European Union. They're a package deal, Moldova and Ukraine. Both of them have to get into the European Union at the same time. Why is that? I don't know. I have no idea. Don't ask me why, but that's the way they set it up. It's good. It's good marketing, good PR, right, for the European Union to say that Putin has lost the conflict against the West because we have two new countries joining the family of the European Union, Moldova and Ukraine. Both countries are nowhere near qualified to enter the European Union. If you go by the EU's financial and fiscal rules, but, you know, whatever. It's not about economics anymore, the European Union. It's a geopolitical project. It's a war project, as Orban said yesterday. So they're going to fast track Moldova and Ukraine. The quicker they get into the European Union, the quicker the European Union dissolves. Actually, Peter Sciarto said the same thing yesterday. He said letting Ukraine into the European Union would basically mean that all of the money that the EU has in its budget, which I believe is not much because the EU is continuously taking out loans. But anyway, whatever money the European Union has, or whatever money EU member states have, it would all go to Ukraine. That is what Sciarto said. It would effectively bankrupt the European Union in a very short time. And he's exactly right about that. Throw in Moldova as well, a small country, but still throw that in there. And let them into the European Union quickly, Ursula. Get them into the EU and let's see the EU project end quickly as well. But they're going to fast track them because they're going to change the rules in order to sidestep Hungary's veto. So they're going to make it from unanimous to majority, just like they're going to do with the Russian frozen assets, right? They're changing the rules for taking the Russian frozen assets from unanimous to majority, and now they're going to do the same thing when it comes to countries that are going to be joining the bloc. So you see what Ursula's doing? Some loud motorcycles. So you see what Ursula is doing there? She's step by step, drip by drip, she's changing the requirements for how things are voted on in the European Union from unanimous to majority without getting the consent of all the EU member states. If you're going to change the voting to majority, then you have to get the consent, the approval of all EU member states. And she knows that she's not going to get this, right? Because Hungary, Slovakia, and many countries are going to say, no way are we going to change things from unanimous to majority. So what Ursula and Costa are doing is that they're using the instance of the frozen assets. Now they're using the instance of Ukraine and Moldova's accession into the European Union in order to just change the rules for voting in the European Union without having to go through the proper procedures. They've been wanting majority voting for a long time now, because if they can do majority voting, then they're able to pass all kinds of ridiculous legislation and regulations that otherwise would have been blocked by more sensible leaders or the only sensible leaders in the European Union, Fico and Orban. So that's why they want the majority voting instead of the unanimous voting. Anyway, let's move on. Enough of that. And let's talk about Grokopedia, which is what Elon Musk is going to be creating. The next project for Elon Musk is Grokopedia, which is going to take on the very woke Wikipedia. And it's about time, man. It is about time that we had an alternative to Wikipedia, which is absolutely awful. Let's hope that Grokopedia is good and factual and not biased. So Elon Musk announced that yesterday, we are building Grokopedia at XAI. Will be a massive improvement over Wikipedia. Frankly, it is a necessary step towards the XAI goal of understanding the universe. All right, let's do a clown world and we can wrap this video up here on the walking on the Sadovaya. And we'll start off today's clown world with Estonia. Let's start off with Estonia. And there was a parliament member from Estonia speaking at the Warsaw Security Forum. And he said that we, including Estonia, we are capable of sinking the entire Russian fleet alone. Okay, so he's talking about Estonia, just Estonia. We, as Estonia, are capable of sinking the entire Russian fleet alone. He said Estonia has the capabilities to sink Russian ships in the Baltic. All right, Estonia. Let's see what you got. Since you can do it alone and you don't need any other countries to help you out, including the United States, you don't need the U.S. to have your back, then what are you waiting for, I guess? I don't know what to say. If Estonia thinks they can go it alone and take on Russia and sink the entire Russian fleet, no need for the U.S. to have their back to protect them, then all right. That's Estonia for you. In Romania, we had, or at least the Romanian president, I'm not sure where this video was recorded, but it looks like, I believe it's Romania, the president of Romania, Lieutenant Dan, he looked very confused. He looked very confused in the video. Doesn't appear as if Lieutenant Dan knows what to do at this event as he's meeting military officials or at some sort of military event. Not sure how to salute the military. Not sure where to walk. Not sure where to go. That's the man that is president of Romania because of the EU Georgescu meddling. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. Those are the types of leaders that the globalists like, by the way. They like to see that. They like to see leaders like Lieutenant Dan confused and walking in circles. He fits right in with the rest of the EU cool kids. That is the video, theduran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Telegram. And we are on Rumble, and go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing in this video update. There is a link in the description box down below. Take care.